is still. Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to moan. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Souls my blood has bought. Faces turn as into the courtroom comes the very seat of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him. The fury of all the ages, that demon voice begins to cry. It's not fair, I almost had you. On Golgotha, I watched you die. Then Satan begins to tremble, as his fate to him was known. From the throne came the verdict, the lake of fire will be your home. And I see every knee is bowing, every is raised, every voice to him is lifted. Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised. Angels standing at attention as the redeemed begin to sing. Heaven's chorus resound the anthem.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 4. Psalm 4. That was a blessing, men. Thank you. If you found your place in Psalm 4, would you stand with me and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. Please follow silently as I read. David is the psalmist here, and he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" That word leasing means lying. David is saying, how long are you going to try to tarnish my testimony and ruin my integrity by lying about me? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. And the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Now, twice in this little short psalm, he uses the word Selah. And any time that is used in the Psalms, it is a Hebrew word which means stop and meditate on what you've just read. Think about it. And then in verse 5 he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I want you to notice verse number 7 for the basis of our message tonight. David says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I want to speak tonight on the subject, a heart full of gladness. A heart full of gladness. Now let me ask you right now, what's in your heart? Is there gladness in your heart, or is it full of doom and gloom? Do you go around rejoicing in the Lord, or do you go around with a pouty face? Do you know what it is as a Christian to have that heart full of gladness? David said, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Father, help me tonight. Help me to bring this message to help our people to realize that we have far more to rejoice about than to feel sad about. You're a good God, a great God, a wonderful God, an everlasting God, a forgiving God, a God that has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, a God who is able to meet our needs and even take the worst day of our life and add your grace to it and turn it around for our good and your glory. We don't love you like we ought to love you, and we don't trust you like we ought to trust you. And we depend on the wrong things to make us glad and happy. Help us tonight to learn how to live our Christian life with a heart full of gladness, regardless of the circumstances. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, there's people here with needs. Perhaps someone needs to be saved tonight, and someone else needs to come and make public their salvation and follow you in baptism. Maybe there's someone here that needs to just kneel at an altar and pour out their heart and their burden, their needs to you. Maybe there's some people here tonight that need to get right about wrong in their life. Lord, in each of our lives, you know what we have need of. And Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium, don't miss the balcony, and speak to every heart and every person about our relationship with you. Do a work in us, Father. Oh, how we need the touch of God on our life. We'll give you thanks in advance for what you shall do, and hearts and lives that shall be touched and helped in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text verse, it says, thou hast put gladness in my heart. The word gladness as used here in our text means a feeling of joy and peace. It goes on to even emphasize rejoicing and laughter as a result of contentment and satisfaction in our life. With a casual reading of this passage, one would think that the psalmist is in his palace King David, guarded from anything that could cause fear, and with everything he desired being brought to him. Now listen, folks. These people are getting up and going in and out at every service, and it needs to stop. Okay? We're here to have church, not to see how many times we can go in and out the doors. I say again, with a casual reading of this passage, one would think that the psalmist is in his palace and he's guarded from anything that could cause fear, and every need was being met. But the fact is, the very opposite is the case here. At the writing of this psalm, David is under attack. Verse number 1 lets us know that he's in distress. He's praying for mercy upon himself. It's believed that David is being pursued by King Saul, who is trying to kill him at this very time. And men had as their chief aim to destroy him. Now you can destroy a man by destroying his testimony, and many times that hurts far more than taking his life. And they were lying about David. They were going around lying about him and trying to destroy him and bring shame to his name. This is the situation that he is in. Yet in the midst of his distress, and while bands of men are hunting him as if he is a wild animal, David lays down to sleep, perhaps in a cave, with a stone for a pillow and stars for his blanket. And his heart is full of peace and gladness as he prays his good night prayer to God. His prayer is not a cry of fear or self-pity. His prayer bubbles with joy and peace and rejoicing in the Lord God. Listen to him as he prays in verse number 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Notice that in the midst of distress and strife, David had a heart full of gladness. He's not envying the king or others in the world around him. Oh, what foolishness for God's children to envy the sinner in the world. How terrible to feed only on the scraps that come from God's banquet table. We're God's children. We've got a reserved seat at his table. We have far more offered to us than we're taking advantage of. We don't have to settle for scraps and of temporary pleasure to put gladness and joy in our heart. We can enjoy a heart filled with gladness even in tough times and troubled times. For our message tonight, I want us to analyze David's heart full of gladness and learn from it. I don't want to go through life moaning and groaning. I don't want to go through life feeling sorry for myself. I don't want to go through life thinking that I've really missed something. I'm amazed at Christians that think because they're Christians, they're missing so much in this world. Oh, you fool! Let me tell you what you've missed because you're a Christian. You've missed judgment in hell forever and ever and ever. But I want to go do this and I want to do that like the world. I want to dress like the world and act like the world and do the things of the world. Oh, you feeble-minded Christian, to think that your joy and fulfillment can come only from the things of the world. We're not of this world. This heart full of gladness that David was experiencing wasn't coming from the circumstances he is going through in the world. I want us to learn from David tonight, because I want this heart full of gladness for my life. I don't want to sit around with a pouty face on. I don't want to sit around having a pity party, feeling like I'm missing so much because I'm a Christian. Well, I'm here to tell you, God has blessed me and given to me far more than the devil has ever offered to me. And you'd better learn quickly that the devil's a liar anyway. He offers you roses and gives you thorns. He offers you beauty and gives you scars and heartaches. He offers you happiness and he gives you trouble and regret and tears. He's a liar. Why would you believe the devil anyway? David's heart full of gladness was not dependent on worldly prosperity. Verse number 7, he said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time of their corn and their wine increase." No, they were farmers. And when they had a good corn crop and a good crop in their vineyards, that meant prosperity. And David said, "What God has put in my heart, that heart full of gladness cannot be purchased with prosperity." A good job's not the answer for joy in your heart. A new car is not the answer. Some of our teenagers get out of high school and think, "Man, if I can just get me that new car, that sports car, I'll have it made, I'll be happy." And they're miserable for 6 years because they've got a millstone tied around their neck they can't get rid of and they can't pay for. David's heart full of gladness was not dependent on worldly prosperity. In this statement, David said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than what the prosperity could bring me." Many of you don't believe that because you're living your life primarily for things and not for the God who's able to give us the heart full of gladness. The picture here is that David's gladness, his joy and peace was greater than the rejoicing of others when they made a good corn crop or a good grape crop and had lots of money. It's important you get the picture here. He was being hunted like a fugitive. He had no palace throne, no king's chambers. He could not feast at a table of plenty. Men were trying to kill him, or at least destroy his reputation. He didn't have a storehouse full of food or one penny's worth of gold from the king's treasury. Yet his heart was a fountain bubbling over with gladness, more than those in the world who had great prosperity. Listen to the verse again. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time of their corn and their wine increase." Let me tell you, when you're right with God, it supersedes all of the circumstances you're facing. When you're able to lay down at night right with God and at peace with God, it supersedes money in the bank or a car in the driveway or a new house to live in. It supersedes a new suit every day of the work week. To have that heart full of gladness. David's heart full of gladness was not the result of a moment of external pleasure. Some of you think, "Well, if I can't get my happiness through prosperity, I'll get happiness by having great pleasure in my life." Oh, thou fool. David's heart full of gladness was not the result of a moment of external pleasure. It was gladness in the heart, not in the flesh. It was inside, overflowing to the outside. It wasn't external pleasure causing his heart full of gladness. David's gladness didn't consist of outward circumstances. It started inwardly and worked its way outward. It was not mere surface gladness that would change with the change of the situation. It was a gladness in his heart, like the ocean's depth that could not be disturbed by a passing storm, though the waves were rolling up here on the surface. There was calm and peace down below. And even though they were hunting David like he is a fugitive, they were lying about him, trying to destroy his reputation. He had no food, he had no money, he had no storehouse of clothing. Yet he said, God, thou hast put a gladness in my heart. Gladness in my heart. Do you have that tonight? You don't get that by relationship with the world. You get that only when there's a right relationship with God. You don't have that gladness in your heart when you got money jingling in your pocket. You have it only when you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was gladness in his heart. How very shallow are Christians' lives today. We allow happenings to determine our happiness. When if we're right with God, the moment of external pleasure and the things that happen that feel good does not determine the gladness that fills our heart. Because it comes from God. It's put there from God. When there is a right relationship between us and God. For the shallow Christian of today, his peace and gladness exist only as long as the breezes of life blow softly. When the winds begin to blow a little contrary, the 21st century Christian acts like God's dead. That's because we have a poor understanding of who he is. And we don't have a right relationship, a biblical relationship with him. Our Christianity today is too superficial. There's no depth. There's no foundation of Bible knowledge. There is no faith and trust in God to turn the storms of our life around for good and for his glory. Oh, for a generation of Christians who can cry out of their distress and hurt, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time of their corn and wine increase. Thirdly, it was a heart full of gladness whose author and source was God himself. David said in verse number 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. It didn't come from things. It didn't come from somebody you knew in your daily association. It came from God and from a relationship with him. Look at another description of this gladness that comes from God. Turn, if you will, over in your Bible to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. And look at verse number 11. Again, David said, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now, it didn't mean that David was getting down here. It meant that instead of mourning and weeping, he was shouting and rejoicing. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Gladness. And what he's saying here is that God has the ability to take our terrible circumstances that break our heart and turn them around so that in our heartache, we also have a heart full of gladness. Now listen to me. Don't you for a moment think David didn't care that he is being hunted as a fugitive. He cared. It was his king that had turned against him and was trying to kill him. David's heart was broken. It hurt David. He felt it because those people were lying about him, trying to destroy his reputation. But in the midst of all of that, God had done something to make the breezes blow softly and the sun shine and the birds sing. God had put in his heart gladness in spite of the circumstances he was going through. Oh, how wonderful it is to have that gladness. I remember when I preached my daddy and my mother's funeral, my sister's funeral. And yes, my heart was broken. But at the same time, I had a heart full of gladness. I had joy and peace there as I remembered their salvation, as I remembered that they are with the Lord, that this death was not the end, that I'd see them again one day in a short time. In the future, when I went to meet the Lord or Jesus came back for all of the saved. And in spite of the fact that we was going to take the body of the person I loved and had loved for all of those years and was going to take the body out and put it in a grave and cover it up and walk away and leave it. There was a heart full of gladness in here that comes only from a relationship with Almighty God. Do you know it tonight? It's more important than that you know this heart full of gladness than you know prosperity or things. Do you know it? I want you to notice four simple things we find in Scripture that God uses to put gladness in the Christian's heart. Four simple things. First of all, God uses pardon of our sin. Pardon from our sin to put gladness in our heart. Turn in your Bible over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Anyone knows anything about the Bible, know that Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance after he had sinned with Bathsheba and plotted the murder of her husband and then married her and lost a little baby. David is getting right with God. And he's confessing his sins. And in verse number 8 of Psalm 51, David said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." David was getting right with God and he knew that pardon from his sin would produce gladness in his heart. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance. David is getting right with God. He's crying out for forgiveness and pardon from his sin. And a heart full of gladness is the fruit of pardon and forgiveness. All the joy of knowing our sins are forgiven, blotted out, and will never be remembered again. David said it puts gladness back in your heart. Even those old bones that have been broken because of sin can rejoice with gladness once again. When sin has been forgiven, sin has been pardoned. Oh, my dear friend, do you think that you're not a sinner? Do you ever stop and think you don't deserve hell? Do you ever look at your salvation and think, man, God did something, He really got something worthwhile when He got you? The truth is, He got nothing except a hell-deserving sinner. One that deserved all of the wrath of God poured out on us in hell. That's what we all deserved, collectively and individually. And oh, when I stop to think that God, instead of judging me in hell, took my sin and put it on Jesus Christ, and on the cross of Calvary judged Jesus in my place so I could be forgiven and have life everlasting. And not only be forgiven, know that that sin is not going to be brought up again and again and again against me. It's blotted out, forgiven, never to be remembered again. Let me tell you, when you get a sense and understanding of that precious truth, it puts gladness in your heart. Makes me rejoice. And it would you too if you ever got an understanding of what a rotten sinner you were. And what an awful price God had to pay to save you. A heart full of gladness is the fruit of pardon and forgiveness. Every one of us ought to keep an altar stained with the sincere tears of a broken and contrite heart. When our heart is empty of sin, He'll fill it with His gladness. When my girls growing up would do wrong, and it finally came out, and by the way, it always does, and I dealt with it, I disciplined them. I tore their backsides up. And they'd say afterwards, "Daddy, it feels so good that now that it's out and done with, I can enjoy being with you again, Daddy." And let me tell you, when our sins are forgiven and blotted out, we can enjoy being with Jesus again. Let me tell you what sin does to us. Sin causes us to run and hide from God, the man of God, the Word of God, the church of the living God. It made Adam hide. I've been to houses, maybe some of yours, and knocked on the door when you've been away from God and you wouldn't answer the door, and I knew you were inside. And you know why you wouldn't answer the door? Because sin in your heart made you want to hide. Somehow or another, you didn't want to be around the preacher, and the preacher is not God. But when we get our sins right and get them forgiven and under the blood, we don't want to hide anymore. We enjoy the fellowship once again when we're right with God. Yes, pardon from our sins helps produce a heart full of gladness. Secondly, holy living produces gladness in the heart. Holy living produces gladness in the heart. Look at Psalm 4 again in verse number 5. Often the sacrifices of righteousness are offered, the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. Now notice that verse there when it says offer the sacrifice of righteousness. What does the word righteous mean? Talking about godliness. What does godly mean? It's another word for holiness. God is saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to be godly. I want you to be righteous. I want you to be holy. And God tells us to live like Him. Be ye holy as I am holy, the Bible says. But God pleads with us through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, when he says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. Living holy produces a heart full of gladness. You know why? Holy living is sowing. It's sowing. Turn over to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. And look, if you will, at verse number 11. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. When you live right, when you walk in the light as He is in the light, when you sow the seeds of right living, holy living, God-like living, you reap what you sow. And the harvest from right living is a heart full of gladness. Make no doubt about it, you reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Gladness is the product of our sowing. Sow holy living, upright lifestyles, righteous acts, all reflecting holy living, and we'll reap a heart full of gladness. On the other hand, you sow sin and sow sorrow and sow rebellion and sow worldliness and carnality, and you'll reap tears and sorrow and regret and heartache. Thirdly, prayer has a part in producing gladness in the heart. Prayer has a part in producing gladness in the heart. Prayer is an opportunity when you spend time with God. In our prayer time, we ought to be talking to Him and then listening. David prayed and then said, Selah. And what David was saying was, stop and think about what you've just said and see what God says. It's amazing, God wants to communicate with us. You're never going to hear an audible voice from heaven, but it's amazing what God will show you in your Bible once you stop and think about what you've read and what you've prayed about. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will direct you and speak to your heart if you'll take time talking to God and then waiting and listening. In the book of Psalms, another word that's used is the word musing. Muse. That means to stop and meditate. And in the time of meditation, you're giving God an opportunity to speak to your heart. Now, when the Bible talks about meditating, it's not talking about sitting down with a robe on and crossing your legs in a squat position and lighting incense. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about thinking about what you've been reading. Thinking about your relationship with God. Your prayer time. What you've been saying and how you've been praying. And then meditate and give God an opportunity to speak by His Word and speak by His Holy Spirit. And according to the Word of God, the Bible says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. It's very plain, David's praying. Verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. David is praying. And in that same prayer, he says, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than those that enjoying prosperity from a rich harvest. Prayer is part of producing gladness in the heart. David spent time with the Lord, personal time, private time, regular time. Do you think that David lived his life like some of us? and never set aside time to think about God. It's in the lonely hours, the private hours, the personal hours, the time of prayer, the time of praise, the time of meditation, the time of singing, that God would move upon David's heart and move upon our hearts. David knew the Lord was concerned with God's children. Let me tell you, it's sure good to know when things are going wrong that we have a Heavenly Father who is concerned about me and about you and wants to hear from His children. When I pray and the presence of God overshadows me in prayer, I know His presence is there. You've been there if you've ever spent time with God and got prayers answered. I'm telling you, there is a heart full of gladness produced in the child of God that the world can never understand. And some of you don't know about it because you've never made time to pray and spend time with God. Fourthly, trust and faith in God and His Word produces gladness in the heart. Trust and faith in God and His Word produces gladness in the heart. Look at verse 4 and 5 again. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Our sacrifices of righteousness can and offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. You know what we try to do? We try to take care of all of our problems with our own ability and our own hands and our own finances. But I'm here to tell you, there are problems in our life that we can't fix. We've got to have Him. We've got to have a relationship with Him. And if we don't believe His Word and trust His Word and have faith in His promises, we're going to have a miserable existence in our Christian life. Not everything's going to go right in our life. We need to learn to trust Him and trust His Word and believe it. You know what most Christians do? Most Christians put their faith and trust in people. And they're terribly disappointed. The object of our trust must be God and His Word. And let me go a step further. Not just His Word. Thank God His Word would be meaningless if there wasn't an omnipotent God backing up His Word. I can give you a promise, but I may not be able to fulfill that promise because I don't have all of the power and the wherewithal. But He's able. He's able. Put our trust in Him and our trust and faith in God puts gladness in our hearts. He alone has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He alone has power to help. He alone can turn ugly circumstances of life into something beautiful that will work for our good and for His glory. And if we don't have that faith and trust in Him, then we're not going to know anything about the gladness that He can put in our hearts. When we learn to trust Him, believe Him, and obey Him. And by the way, your faith and trust in God is demonstrated by your obedience to Him and His Word. Don't tell me you believe God and you trust God and you don't obey Him. Our faith and trust in God is revealed by our obedience to Him and His Word. And oh, the heart full of gladness that we can enjoy. Now let me conclude. I've discovered that treasure and pleasure cannot give me that heart full of gladness that every one of us desire. But I have discovered making sure I keep clean and right in my life, keeping my sin confessed and put at the altar under the blood of Jesus Christ, can help give me gladness in my heart. I've learned that not living like the world, but choosing to live godly lives, holy lives, produces gladness and peace and joy in my heart. I have discovered that spending time with God in prayer and taking enough time to meditate on what we've read and what we've said also produces gladness in the heart. And oh, I have learned in the dark days and the tough days, when the storms are blowing and the waves are rolling high, that I can live with a heart full of gladness if I'll learn to trust Him and believe His Word. Do you know that heart full of gladness tonight? God has not just said it is for David alone. It's for me and you too. God wants to give it to us. But remember, God's promises are always fulfilled on His terms and never on ours. Come and trust Him. Come and yield to Him. Get the sin problem cleaned up in your life and under the blood of Jesus, pardoned, forgiven, blotted out. Learn, my dear friend, learn to live lives in accordance with Thy Word, the Word of God. Learn to spend time with Him in prayer and fellowship and meditation. And then learn to trust His Word. Believe His Word. To live by faith in the Word of God by obeying His Word. And before you know it, you'll know what David talked about when he said, "Lord, Thou hast put gladness in my heart. More than those in the time and the increase of corn harvest and grape harvest." Thank God for that joy, that peace, that gladness that can bubble in our hearts. I know it. Do you have it? It's available. You'll find it only in Him. Father, that's our message tonight. Thank You for our people. Thank You for those that witness, those that invite friends and neighbors and guests. Thank You for those that let You love others through their life. And thank You for those who know what it is to have that peace of God, because they have peace with God. They have a heart full of gladness. And it doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from happenings. It doesn't come from prosperity. It comes from a right relationship with the Savior. Lord, it may be there's someone here tonight that's unsaved. Someone who needs to accept You as Savior. Perhaps there's someone who has just gotten saved and they need to make it public and publicly profess You like You tell us before men and follow You in believers' baptism. It may be that someone here needs to get in church and begin to live for You and serve You. Perhaps someone needs to answer Your call or rededicate themselves to your call. Speak to our hearts tonight. You know what we need to do. You're speaking to each of us individually now. Help us to obey you. Help us to trust you, to believe you, and obey you.